Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful set of tables. Thank you, Sarah and Robin and whoever else worked so hard, Kim and Luke and others that showed up. We get to share in cake and coffee and I'm looking forward to that. But you got to listen to me for a little bit and then we'll do that. So, wow. I was telling Luke, I asked Luke here before church, I said, "Now," I said, when did you move back here?" And he said, "Oh, 2005." I says, "Man, that was a fast 15 years." And it's been a fast 20 years. It seems like kind of just yesterday, doesn't it, darling, that we loaded up a truck and sent our stuff to Faith, and everybody showed up to unload, and it was 20 years. We don't have Arden and Berta sitting out here anymore, and Marlon and Ethel aren't here, and Dwayne and Zona, and just quite a few of our folks. That, I mean, it's a little different look, but Larry and Bobby are still here. Praise God. Good, so good to see Bobby here, and you're getting better, and I can tell. But I love the sign that you made back there, Sarah, about new chapters, and I love looking at it that way. I start as the campus minister tomorrow, so I'll be setting up my desk and my books and getting things ready, and then a week later the second semester starts, and so we'll see what all, is possible for us to do, and we'll be doing some stuff there and doing some online stuff. We're sure not sure what kind of mix we're going to have, but it's going to be and we're not moving to California, so we'll be still out here every now and then. I will come out here sometime when you guys need me, and when I come, I'll show my PowerPoint presentation on the campus work. So you'll have to put up with that when I come back. Oh, but let's ask God to bless our time, and then let's share in His Word together. Thank you, God, for first of all, for your love, as we shared in communion, and we reflected on how much you love us. You sent your only Son here to die for us that we could live with you. And Father, that cross, what it means, it means it's a sign not of condemnation, as the next verse said. You didn't send your Son into the world to condemn, but to save. And so that cross is a message, Father, of not about how worthless we are, but of how much worth and value we have to you. And Father, we know that when you love the world, that world that you loved and gave your Son for, it wasn't a pure and a lily white world. It was a sinful world that needed saving, and we're here as a testament to that today, of what can happen and what should happen. Father, as we share in your word today, I just ask a blessing on our time together. Help us to have hearts, Father, that are open to you, minds that are open to your word, and that we would leave this place a little clearer, a little better understanding of who you want us to be and what you want us to do. It's through your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. The passage that was read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." This is such a powerful passage because it talks about what is going on in our lives. The first words that God said, well, this business of a clay pot. I'll come back to the little lines you see in the side of that later. But there's this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, and it's God's light that shined through Jesus' face. It's so interesting because the first words recorded out of God's mouth in Genesis chapter 1 is, "Let there be light." And it said that God saw the light, that it was good. The light shone in the darkness. And so it's so interesting to me that this teaching begins from the very beginning there, for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." See, that's going all the way back to the first words that you've ever heard God speak as recorded in Scripture. Let light shine out of darkness. And so that set the whole stage for our purpose here on earth, was to continue to have God's light shining in our hearts so that people could gain a knowledge of God's glory by looking at the face of Jesus. Now, we have this treasure in earthen jars of clay, to show that it's not us, but it's God. So, God's light shined in Jesus' face. You know, that passage in John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In Jesus was a certain kind of life. Jesus was different than the world. The life that he brought to earth was the life of God, right? What does John chapter 5, verse 26 say, the Father has life in himself, and he has given to the Son to have that life in himself. And then in John chapter 6, verse 57, it says, "As the living Father sent me," says Jesus, "and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me," this is that bread of come down out of heaven passage, "he who feeds on me, he too can live." So, that light that shined into the darkness from the very beginning was about a life that would fill us through Jesus. And the darkness will not overcome it. And that's important because this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 is kind of painful. It says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For at one time, we sometimes are painfully reminded of how much a part of the darkness that we were. But don't beat yourself up, because you really can't be saved until you're lost. You know, the important point is not that we were lost. The important point is that we are saved. The important point is not that we were lost, living in darkness, but now we have light, light filling us, and we are a part of that salvation that Jesus brought to earth. So, that's the powerful point here. So the first recorded words out of God's mouth, "Let there be light," and that light was good. It is good for light to shine out of darkness and into darkness. We who were once darkness, we are now light. And it's only because God's light brought by Jesus has filled us. Now, we're talking about a new year here. Whatever needs to be accomplished in this new year, 2021, it's going to take knowledge and it's going to take power. We have some knowledge and power, but we are very limited and we can go astray. The knowledge and the power that we need is the knowledge and the power of God, as described in that passage that we began with there in 2 Corinthians. "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the power belongs to God and not to us. God has given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." It's not our power, it's not our knowledge. God provides both. And that's what we're going to need in this next year, no matter where we're at, no matter how we're trying to glorify God, no matter what our task is specifically. This new year can be a powerful year of change positive change and the presence of God and the glory of God being shining through us if we'll use that knowledge and power that God, only God, can provide. If we try to use our knowledge and power, well, we've got that warning. You know, Grandma Clara, her favorite verse, Clara Drum, was Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and then I add 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The next verse says, do not be wise in your own eyes. So you have, and I have some knowledge. You and I have some power. But we need a whole lot more than that. There is a God, and we're not Him. Our power and our knowledge, in some ways, it all comes from God, doesn't it? We really wouldn't know anything if God hadn't helped us to learn it. And we really wouldn't have any power if God hadn't provided it. I mean, every breath of air I breathe is provided by God. Every morsel of food I eat is in some way provided by God, right? He sends the sunshine and the rain. And so, but especially this business of the power and the knowledge needed for us to do what God wants us to do. Well, here's an important point. The reason why we carry the gospel, the reason we have this light that shines from the face of Jesus, why we have it in clay vessels. Do you remember why God put His glory in such humble vessels? It's to show that the power belongs to God and not to us. And so we are these jars of clay. We're physically these earthen vessels that contain this power of God, this knowledge of God, this light that you can only see fully in the face of Jesus. God chose to use these clay jars sitting in this room to shed His glory and light into a dark world. But the clay jars sitting on the seats in front of me, they have cracks. The one standing up in front of you has cracks, this clay jar, right? What I'm trying to say is that God can do His work through imperfect, flawed people. He's done it before. He's doing it now. He will continue to do it. God can use cracked pots. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, maybe when Paul was writing in chapter 4, talking about how God has His power and light and knowledge in jars of clay. Maybe he was already thinking about what he was going to write at the end of the letter here in chapter 12, where he talks about his struggle with pride and how God gave him a thorn in the flesh so he wouldn't exalt himself. And he prayed 3 times for God to remove that thorn. And every time, this was the answer to his prayer. God said to me, says Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is made perfect in human weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my accomplishments, of the visions I've seen? No. He says, I will boast of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me, can fill me. See, if God could only work through perfect vessels, perfect people, the question would be whether you even really need God. Maybe you just need to be a perfect enough person. There's only been one perfect person that lived out his life here on earth. And he took the most humble of stations, our Jesus. He laid aside his robe and put on the towel and he washed the disciples' feet. He tells us in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 28, he says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give up my life for them. So the one that could have shown us this physical earthly perfection chose to be the incredibly humble servant of all. Jesus was that clay jar filled with the power and the glory and the knowledge of God, and he shared that with us. So, you know, the truth about cracked pots is God doesn't require perfect people to demonstrate his glory and to send forth his light. You know, you look at some of the New Testament guys. You got Peter, who couldn't keep his mouth shut. Even like Barnabas was led astray, it says there in Galatians. Paul had his struggles. That's why he was given the thorn in the flesh. But you go back into the Old Testament. I mean, God's been working with people for a long time. I mean, Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk after he saw the power of God expressed in the flood. You've got Abraham, who lies about his wife being his sister to save his neck. You've got Jacob, who's his name meant, you know, trickster, con man. Of course, his mom kind of put him up to it in the beginning there. You got David, murderer and adulterer. And Samson, who was about as uncontrolled as, well, all these people that were so flawed, they were clay jars that had lots of cracks. You know, some clay jars have more cracks than others. You know, and if this clay jar looks out there and says, well, I'm glad I've only got three cracks, because that guy over there, he's got six cracks in his jar. You know, it could always be worse. But you know what those cracks do in that jar? What is the jar filled with? If that person is a Christian, what is the jar filled with? It is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as expressed through the face of Jesus. Now, you put that in a jar and you put a lid on it, how is it ever supposed to get out to anybody? Sometimes those cracks in the jar is what lets the light out to the people who need it. In some ways, the more flaws you have, the more glory, the glory of God can be expressed in your life, because it sure isn't about you, is it? And the more cracks you have, the more people know it's not about us. It's about God. Sometimes we worry about trying to be so perfect. We're so worried that other people might see us as having flaws. Well, I'll let the secret out. You know, do you have flaws? The answer is yes, just like I do. But it is those flaws in the jar that allows the knowledge and the power and the glory of God to be expressed more completely, if we will let that happen. If we will let that happen. So, you are a clay jar, and you've got some cracks in you. Now, we don't need to be perfect enough for God to do his work through us. God has been using imperfect people to reveal his glory for a long time. In fact, the more that we acknowledge how imperfect we are, the more God can work through us. James chapter 5 says, you know, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. It's people who try to get out their little cosmetics and cover up the cracks of their clay jar. They're the ones that get in trouble. And they don't do a very good job of shining the glory of God out. They're so worried about trying to make themselves look good that they can't, they're not in a position to help to show the goodness of God. And maybe you don't struggle with that, but I know a lot of us do. We don't need to be knowledgeable and powerful for God to do his work through us. It is God's knowledge and light and power that will change the world, not ours. If you say, boy, I just wish I was smarter and more powerful, I would just go out and change my world. Well, it's never been about us. It's never been about our knowledge. It's never been about our power. It's about being a vessel that contains the power and the knowledge of God. And that power and knowledge and light is what spills out into the lives of other people. People need a whole lot more than what I or you have to offer them. What people need is what God has. And that's such an important point to remember. It's not about me. It's not about you. We don't have the power. We don't have the knowledge. It's our job to take people to the one who has the knowledge and the power. That's our role here. So, to repeat, there was one perfect person who lived on earth. The rest of us are crackpots. Some have more cracks than others, but we're all cracked. But God's power is perfected in human weakness. God loves a cracked pot. It lets the treasure spill out. So don't close up the jar. Let it spill out. If you're living by faith, if you've died with Christ in baptism and been raised up to walk in newness of life with Him, God has filled you with a power and a light. And it is what the world needs. Let it spill out. Let it flood through the cracks. Let's bless the world the way God planned for us to bless it. You guys will be doing that here. I'll be doing it in Spearfish. Okay? All right, let's pray. Thanks, God, for this group of disciples. Thank you, Father, for their hearts. Thank you for their love for you and your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your power and your knowledge and your glory and your light can fill us. We pray that it would fill us more fully. And then we pray, Father, that through the cracks in that clay pot that we are, that message, that power would get out to the people around us and they could find what they need in you. Not from us, Father, but through us. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.